Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, August 25th, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, now, from that point of salvation, that moment when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ on forever and ever, therefore, now, there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, en Christo Jesu. And as I pointed out, Christos is a transliteration, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. A transliteration doesn't tell you what the word means. Christos means the anointed one. Now, we have in the Bible, Jesus is the Christ. And when it says Jesus is the Christ, it's the same thing as if you said Jesus is the Messiah. Now, there's Christos is the equivalent to the Hebrew word Mashiach. M Shava S H long I A C H. Mashiach. It's also a transliteration. Messiah is a transliteration. Doesn't tell you what it means. It also is the Hebrew word for the anointed one. So Christ, Christos, is the Greek word for the anointed one. Messiah, Mashiach, is the Hebrew word for the anointed one. And so what both of them are saying is, Jesus is the anointed one. What does that mean? Well, God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation. And in that plan that the Father made, He, the anointed one, to solve the world problem of sin, was the eternal Son of God. And the eternal Son of God was the anointed one in the plan of the Father to solve the world problem of sin. Operation Grace, well, how amazing is this? That God looked at the whole world. And the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God the Father would love to see everyone believe in Christ and be in heaven. But everybody has a free will, a volition. You're free to believe in Christ. You're free to reject Christ. But God's, as far as God's concerned, He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why when Christ was on the cross, God the Father not only gathered up the sins of those who would believe in Christ, but the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2. Unlimited atonement. The sins of the whole world were poured out on Christ and judged. Why? Why the sins of the whole world? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he anointed the eternal Son of God. And it called for the eternal Son of God to leave heaven. And on that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God left heaven. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, he came into the world free from Adam's imputed sin, free from the inherent sin of the old sin nature. And then he proceeded to live a life on this earth totally free from personal sin, so that he was impeccable, sinless perfection, and therefore qualified to go to the cross and be our Savior. Now, that's Christos, Jesus. I long E-S-O-U-S, Jesus. This actually comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua. Y Shava S H long U A H. Yeshua. And Yeshua is the noun that comes from the verb Yasha. Looks like that in Hebrew, Y-A-S-H-A-I-N, Yasha. And Yasha is the verb that means to deliver or to save. So we have the name Jesus, Jesus. And God told Mary to name this child Jesus. Turn over to Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why give him the name Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. So that name comes from the Hebrew Yeshua, from the verb Yasha, to save. So you're going to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The salvation work of Christ on the cross. Therefore, now there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus. One. I gave you one and two. Point one, Romans 8:1 powerfully and dogmatically teaches that the ones who are in Christ Jesus, the result of faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Spirit, will never, never be judged and cast into the lake of fire. And then two, I gave you point two, Romans 8:1 is therefore one of the most powerful passages that teaches the eternal security of the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Eternal security. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has graciously given us two categories of security: temporal security and eternal security. Now, in our Thursday class, we're right in the middle of studying temporal security. in 1 John 5:11 to 13. We're studying it. We haven't completed it, so we're studying temporal security in 1 John 5. We're not going to bring that up. That just be here Thursday. Temporal security. And so God has graciously given to us two categories of security, temporal security and eternal security. Now, temporal security at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father imputes His perfect righteousness to us, justification by faith. This establishes a grace pipeline with the perfect justice of God on one end and the imputed righteousness of God in every believer on the other end. So here is the cross and Jesus Christ. And you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ. And at that instant, the justice of God imputes to each one of us the righteousness of God. That establishes this phenomenal grace pipeline. And instantly, at that moment of faith in Christ, God sends down that grace pipeline 40 salvation blessings. 40 salvation blessings. To all, every single person who believes in Christ, you get 40 salvation blessings immediately. And then, logistical grace, blessing, and support, and this is temporal security. Temporal security. We get the 40 salvation blessings instantly at the moment of faith in Christ, and then every single day, every day from that day to today, God sends down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that God has for your life. And what is that plan, will, and purpose that God has for your life? He wants you to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you to become a teleos believer, a spiritually mature believer. He wants you to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. He wants you to develop great personal love for God the Father, which motivates great impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you do that, when you make good decisions to live the spiritual life and to grow up to spiritual maturity, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings, greater grace blessings in time. And we're not here that long. I used to think when I was in school, I didn't think time ever moved, especially when the teacher had tests. I thought, oh, time goes so slow. Now, every day, Debbie goes, can you believe how fast this another week went? Can you believe? I believe. I'm a believer. Greater grace blessings in time when you reach spiritual maturity, and a promise that at the judgment seat of Christ, we will all be evaluated. Every one of us will be evaluated. And for those believers who advance to spiritual maturity, receive these greater grace blessings in time, there will be greater grace blessings, crowns and rewards given to you by Jesus Christ. And they will glorify God forever and ever and ever. That's how fantastic our God is. And when you realize what God has done for us by His grace and His power, well, that makes you want to know Him. That makes you want to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That makes you want to know who and what He is, His plan, His will, His purpose for your life. So temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support is given to every single believer. Every day from the day of salvation right up to today. This logistical grace, blessing, and support is our temporal security. It is designed to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world so that we can make those good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life. Good decisions to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and attain spiritual maturity and fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. And then God is free to send down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity, awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Crowns and rewards will be given to the winner believer, and those crowns and rewards will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Now, we're studying that in great detail on Thursday night class. We've already had two classes on it. I just gave you a half a sheet of notes. That's nothing. This week we're gonna have a third week looking at and studying temporal security. But since we're studying temporal security on Thursday night class, let's take a look at eternal security. Eternal security. And this is one that, well, a lot of believers, our evangelism team has gone all over Southern Nevada. All over Southern Nevada. We've gone to adult daycare centers. Prior to COVID, we went to adult daycare centers all over Southern Nevada and gave the grace gospel. And then, of course, when COVID came, by those adult daycare centers, they didn't want to hurt the people that were living there, so we were told not to come back until this is all over. So now it's all over, and now we get to go back. So we're looking forward to that. But some of those places we went to, there would be some people come who had believed in Christ as their Savior, but they did not believe in eternal security. And they came up to our people and said, no, that's false doctrine teaching eternal security. That's wrong. You can lose your salvation. And our people said, well, no. And then they started going through some of the biblical passages that teaches eternal security. And then a couple of these people then went all around everybody else and said, oh, no, don't believe this. This is totally false. You can lose your salvation. You better make sure you're on the roof and you're slipping off. You better not slip off that roof and you lose your salvation. Now, you can't lose your salvation. So eternal security. One, at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit created a human spirit. Regeneration. We're born again. Spiritual birth. And God the Father imputes to that human spirit eternal life. So at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. Regeneration. We are born again. Spiritual birth. And God the Father imputes to that human spirit eternal life. Point two. The gift of eternal life is eternal security. Just the gift of eternal life is eternal security. Now, you understand, we have a double portion of eternal life in this dispensation. We have not only the imputation of eternal life from God the Father, but we share the eternal life of Jesus Christ, being in union with Christ. So we are royal family of God, very specially blessed, a double portion of eternal life. Turn over to John 3:16. John 3:16. You know this. Everybody here knows John 3:16. There used to be, when I used to love watching sports. It's getting a little harder to do that, but there used to be a fellow who came to all the college football games, and his name, he was known as John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gift of eternal life from God the Father. And that has been true throughout human history. In the Old Testament, any person who believed in Jesus Christ received the gift of eternal life from God the Father. But what's unique for us, they didn't have in the Old Testament, there was no baptism of the Spirit. There was no entering into union with Jesus Christ. This is unique to the church age. So turn over to 1 John 5. This is what we're studying in our Thursday night class. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 11. In fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, is the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son, in union with Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. And this life is in his Son, in union with Jesus Christ. Verse 12, the one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. I have written these things to you for your interest and benefit, to the ones who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you keep on having, you keep on possessing eternal life. So we are blessed as royal family of God in the church age. We have a double portion of eternal life, that eternal life imputed to us by God the Father, John 3:16, and that eternal life we share being in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Now, this is a very deep point. Eternal life is eternal. Notice it's called eternal life. Now, if you can lose your salvation, God would have put in there temporary life. It doesn't say temporary life. It says eternal life. It's not a life that only lasts until you commit a sin that shocks you, or you commit a sin that shocks other people. And you can't, I want you to know, you can't commit a sin that shocks me. I mean, look at David. David committed adultery and murder. And he was a man after the Lord's own heart. He was the greatest king of all time. He was the author of most of the Psalms. And he sinned. So this is eternal life, not temporary life. It's not 1 week life. It's not 1 month life. It's not 1 year life. It is eternal life. Whoever believes in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, will never perish, but have eternal life. 3. God cannot cancel and will not cancel eternal life. God cannot cancel and will not cancel eternal life. When God gives He does not take it back. He has given to us His righteousness. He's given to us His eternal life so that we are now qualified to live with Him forever. This does not imply, however, that we are going to all be great believers or succeed and advance to spiritual maturity. But whether we fail or succeed in executing God's plan, will, and purpose for our life, whether we become winner believers, spiritually mature believers, or loser believers, that depends entirely upon our attitude toward God and toward the Word of God. 4. The imputation of divine righteousness is the only means of justification. The imputation of divine righteousness is the only means of justification, and justification is an eternal relationship with God, an eternal relationship with God based on His integrity, not ours. It's based on possessing His righteousness, justification by faith in Jesus Christ, and that word justification means literally declared righteous. God imputes His righteousness to us, that salvation, faith in Christ, and declares us to be righteous, declares us to be plus R. Now, as unbelievers have relative righteousness. There are a lot of unbelievers who are very moral. I've known a lot of unbelievers that are far more moral than a lot of Christians are. And Debbie's father, one of the nicest men I have ever known, he wound up in the last stages of his life believing in Jesus Christ as a Savior. But I knew him for a long time when he was an unbeliever. He was the nicest man, the most moral man. Everybody that knew him thought Bob Smalley is the nicest man I've ever met. And I totally enjoy it. I would rather be around Deb's dad than a lot of Christians. He was that nice. He had relative righteousness, but he was not a Christian. He was not a believer. And he would come here because he wanted to visit and visit his daughter. They would come here and they'd sit right back in this corner here. Every time he came, everybody knew it because I gave the gospel again and again and again so that Bob could hear the good news that God has for the whole world. I gave him the gospel. He knew the issue. Everybody told him how good he was and all the great things and good things he did. And he got told that again and again and again. But he heard from here the issue. The issue is not how good you are, how many works you do. It's simply faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And he would, after class, he would come up to me. "Dick," he said, "that was a great speech." I said, "Well, thanks, Bob." Then he'd go back in the kitchen and Deb would say, "Dad, did you believe in Christ?" "I don't want to talk about it." "Deb, don't want to talk about it." But he heard the gospel. You can't make anyone believe in Jesus Christ. That's something they have to do from their own free will. It's not my job to try to make anyone believe in anything. You have a free will. You're free to believe in Christ. You're free to reject Christ. You're free to believe the Word of God. You're free to reject the Word of God. My job is just to teach you what the Word of God says. And then you have a volition, a free will, to believe it or reject it. Well, down the road, he believed in Jesus Christ as the Savior. So the imputation of divine righteousness is the only means of justification. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ is an eternal relationship with God based on His integrity, not ours. It's based on possessing His righteousness. Now, there's some passages I want to go through. So, just like in Thursday night class, they had to come back for 3 weeks and they're still learning temporal security. You got to come back here to learn eternal security. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.